Thank you. Amen. Okay, now's your chance, folks. If you've been waiting all year to sign up for snow shoveling, now's the time to do it. What is it, 60-something on Wednesday? So I don't know. But it's snowing out west, so you never know. Anyway, March is blank here, so maybe if you, just for the fun of it, put some names in there, and then we'll hope it doesn't happen. Okay. Let's see. This next one, to be honest with you, I don't know anything about. It was just given to me. It's something you would want to check out further on your own. But if you've ever thought about foster care or adoption, there's a group called Chosen Fostering Forever Families. Got some literature here that, like I said, it's supposed to be Christian. I don't know all the details about it, but it might be a place to look at and to consider. There's some. Oh. Okay, all right, we'll make it short. I'm sorry.
Now, it's when a child is placed in the foster care or even to adoption, the social worker comes in when they take them out of the family, they grab what they can in a very short time. And a lot of times these kids just come in with a garbage bag full of, essentials, maybe even just the clothes on their back. What Chosen does is they have like a showroom, like a big closet that the foster parents can come into and pick up clothes for the kids and school stuff that they need. They supply all kinds of stuff that foster parents would need to take care of it, at least to short term. And they fund all this stuff. Probably some people don't know that when you bring clothes to us, we distribute what we can to people that we know, and then we take the rest down to Joseph. And
that's in Waukesha. So
instead of running, 20 West Dallas.
Okay. So just running it off, dumping it off at Goodwill or someplace. These guys might be able to put
Goodwill is a profit.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good deal. Thank you. All right. See, what do we got? Anything extra here this week is on Saturday, men's breakfast, assuming that's still a go at this point. So if you got questions about where it's at, was it Arcadia? Is that right? And is it 164?
Kinda.
All right. Yeah. All right. Some you got to wiggle through all these to get to it. But anyway, well, if you need to know where it's at, let us know. 8:30. We have breakfast together. Have a short devotion. We're out of there by 10. So you've got the rest of the day. Next Sunday is we have guest speaker Andy Burrow from Baptist for Life for Wisconsin is going to be with us, going to show some PowerPoint presentation about some of the different pregnancy centers around the state that they've gotten started. And, they're similar to that of Alpha Women's Center. That's one of them. But that'll be during Sunday school, morning worship time. He'll have a message. So if you can plan to be here for that, that would be well spent. There is a calendar in your bulletin or in your mailboxes, so pick that up. March is kind of a unique month. It's got five Sundays in it, and there is a 31st, but it's over in the corner. Either the paper isn't long enough to get everything in, But that's Easter, so you don't want to miss that one, all right? So anyway, check your mailbox. That'll be good. Okay, I think that's probably enough. How about we get ready to sing? Love Lifted Me, 505. Love Lifted Me, 505. Oh, you got one.
Yep. All right, guys. Good morning. Let's stand and sing 505. We'll sing all three verses. 505.
Choruses here. Make me like you. Okay, we want to be like the Lord Jesus. You know, it talks about there in Romans 8:28. Sometimes people kind of toss that one around. And there's a lot, there's truth in it. We stop there. We need to go on to verse 29 that talks about the fact that the Lord desires to make us to be like Christ. And that's kind of the end goal. When we get to heaven, we're going to be. But we ought to be trying to work that way ourselves with the Lord's help even now. All right, let's sing this first one together. These are short, so we won't make you stand long, but you stand with us. Did I do something wrong?
Well, no, you
flipped him?
That's okay.
Oh, no. Well, it's.
We can do this one.
Maybe I can't. Oh, it's. We're all right. I had hit the button, I guess. Gotta look out for that guy and give him a button he doesn't know what to do with it. Change my heart, oh God. There we go. Things out of clay before. A few of you. Okay. Does it always turn out right the first time?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Did any of you lie? No. Yeah. Well, sometimes you start making something. It's kind of funny here the other day. Maureen was working with Alex and they had the Play-Doh out and she's making something that's supposed to be a horse. Alex, this look like a horse. No. You know, it needs ears and stuff. Okay, all right. So, yeah, sometimes with the old clay, you kind of mash it down and you start all over again. Well, sometimes in life, we kind of get mashed and the Lord remakes us. But he's got a good thing in mind, the end goal. He wants to make us like him, all right? All right, we got one more here, and this one we're going to sing through twice. Okay? That's right.
Yeah. blanks left is what takes. Maybe we should get a new piece of equipment for the, you know, that snow shovel stuff. That's
faster. Get blue mic closer.
Yeah, okay.
That snow shovel's kind of old-fashioned. Maybe we should get something a little bit more exciting. More people would sign up. How about we get one of those blowtorch things, you know, and we just... Probably hard on the cement, but... Okay, all right, we're looking at John chapter 13, if you have your Bibles there close by today. Talking about love, humility, and cleansing today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. Thank you now for each one here today and those maybe listening. We thank you for the opportunity to look at your word and have our hearts challenged and reminded of truths maybe that we're already aware of. And help us to be able to put it into practice in our own life. It's one thing to know it's there, and yet another thing to actually do it. So we just pray you'd help us to put it into action here today. Well, thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this might seem a little rough to start with, but I think you'll see where we're going here with it. Come across a little cartoon, Linus in Peanuts cartoon. He shouts out in frustration, "I love mankind. It's the people I can't stand." Well, it's kind of easy to love the whole world out there, kind of in abstract, but then when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty people, specific, maybe irritating people, things, people that could do you harm, and we can't avoid... process seems a little bit harder. And sometimes the Lord brings people like that into our lives. And we see the Lord Jesus face that himself. If Jesus faced it, guess what? We're liable to face it too. But that's part of it, you know. It tells us that Jesus was in all points tested, like as we are, yet without sin. Yeah, that's where the line's drawn, all right? He can do it without sin. And hopefully we'll learn how to do it without sin as well. Well, in Luke chapter 22, it talks to us about the Lord's Supper, just after the Lord Jesus had announced that one of the group there would betray him. His disciples got into a dispute about which one of them was the greatest. A bunch of Muhammad Ali's there, I guess. And for reasons that we don't know, John omits the Lord's Supper itself during this Passover meal. But sometime during the supper, Jesus got up and performed a task that was normally done by slaves or servants. And since the foot washing came before Jesus had mentioned the betrayer, there in John 13:26, and the dispute of the disciples about who was the greatest, we see here that Jesus would have had his feet washed in the process as well. And so not only were the disciples bickering, Judas was about to betray him. It wouldn't be too long down the road here before Peter would deny him many times over, and the rest of the disciples would basically run and hide. So with all these kind of sins combined, these disciples, if we're looking at it humanistically speaking, didn't really deserve Jesus' love. They had a lot of strikes against them. But we see here that they had dirty feet that needed to be washed, needed to be cleansed. And that's kind of a picture of us the fact that we need to be cleansed of sin as well. We're just like them. We have dirty feet. We have sin that needs to be clean. Just a little background, kind of how it worked in those days. Not everybody had a, you know, whirlpool tub that they could take a bath in or whatever, or a shower at home. They go downtown, take a bath at the local bathhouse, and get all slicked up, squeaky clean. But by the time they walked back the dusty roads to house, the time they got home, their feet were dirty. They didn't need a bath all over again, but their feet needed cleansing. And that's kind of what we're dealing with here. Well, that applies in a similar way, and we'll touch on this again as we go through, but we get saved. Our sins have been washed away. They've been taken away by the blood of Jesus Christ. We sin after that. We don't need to get saved all over again, but we do need cleansing. And that's where 1 John 1:9 comes in. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us, okay? And so we need that foot washing. We need that daily cleansing, if you will, of the sins that we kind of pick up in this world. And so we see here that Jesus was ultimately going to go to the cross and to die in place of dirty sinners. And we're one of them. And so that they could be cleansed. And so he gives us this example. He's teaching several different lessons here as he's washing the disciples' feet. It's a practical example of showing how Jesus could love those who didn't deserve it. Like I said, they're fussing over who's the greatest, got somebody they're going to betray him, other one's going to deny him, and so on. But Jesus chose to love them anyway. Sometimes we're a little bit more particular than that. We tend to love those who love us or are good to us or whatever. And so we want to look here, three things here today. And we want to see Christ's love. We want to see his humble service. And we want to see the cleansing of our sin. Now, again, first of all here was we talk about Christ's love. Again, didn't deserve it. But yet it should be a reality in our lives. John talks about this, the fact that this is the Passover. And this is a reminder of what took place in Egypt. This is before they leave Egypt, they had the Passover. They were to kill the lamb, sprinkle the blood on the sides and the top of the doors. And when the death angel passed over Egypt and saw the blood, he passed over them, okay? That protected them. And so this is a reminder for those people in Jesus' day of what had happened previous to this. And Jesus' blood, even yet today, is applied to our lives, to our sin, to cleanse us, and to protect us from God's wrath. And we see here that Jesus knew that his hour had come. And this wasn't a surprise to him. He knew this before he came into this world, that there was going to be a cross and that he was going to die on that cross. It was God planned, if you will. It wasn't just, well, that's the way it kind of worked out. And while the sinful men that crucified Jesus were responsible for what they were doing, at the same time, that cross, that death for Christ, was planned by God. And so it didn't take Jesus by surprise. And he deliberately laid aside his glory there in heaven, came to this earth, and took on the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death, as Philippians 2:5 and following tell us. After his resurrection, he returns back to the Father and is in heaven right now preparing a place for us. And we need to be careful we don't miss this, that Jesus is our Passover lamb as well. And his blood has been applied to our lives to protect us. And without that shed blood of Jesus Christ, we are lost and without hope. Eternally lost and without hope, not just a temporary thing. And we see here John emphasizes here that his disciples are still in the world. He's about to ready to depart this world, but his disciples are still in this world. And that's where their ministry is going to be. That's where we're at today. And so as he prays for us and for his disciples there in John 17, he doesn't ask the Father to take them out of this world, you know, take them out of those tough circumstances. But that's the world that he's going to send them into, where they can tell others about Christ. But we're to be distinct from the world. Our behavior ought not to be confused with just somebody else that's out there in the world. Doesn't mean that we act weird, look weird, whatever, but our lives ought to be different than the person out there that doesn't know Christ as their personal Savior. So we're to be distinct from the world. We're in this world, but not of it, okay? We don't need to attract all the worldliness that's there. And because we're in this world, we're going to pick up some sin along the way. We're going to say things, think things, do things that are contrary to God's word. And yet we see here in 13:1 that Jesus still chose to love them. He says, "Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." And so Jesus is, this is not just a temporary love relationship. He loves us all the way through this life and through eternity as his children. And so again, the familiar verse there in John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." Well, he did. And because of that, he provided a way of salvation. He provided a way that we could have our sins forgiven and have assurance that we're going to spend eternity with him. And yet we see here Jesus had a special love for his own. Ephesians talk about, as Paul writes there in Ephesians 5:25, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Well, it's not church buildings. Folks, as believers, we are the church. It's that assembly of believers. And again, we understand this principle as a Christian. All of us, we're commanded to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And yet, as men, we have a special love for our wives. And we're to love God's children. But yet, at the same time, we have a special love for our own children. And so, in a special way, Jesus has a special love for his own, for his children, for those who've chosen him as their Savior, whom the Father has given him. And so when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, he wants you to know, he wants you to experience his love and the fact he's going to keep on loving you all the way to the end. And John contrasts this. Jesus has this great love for his children with that of Judas and his treachery and betrayal of the Lord Jesus. You got Jesus loving them, and yet one amongst them was going to betray Jesus Christ. He'd been on the receiving end of all this for the last 3 years, and yet he turns his back on Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, a few bucks in his pocket. Well, we see Jesus loved Judas, even though he was not one of his own. Jesus washed Judas's feet before he went out to betray him. And Jesus, the thing is, Jesus is God. He knows all things. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do from the very beginning, even when he chose him as a disciple, that he would be that one. That would be hard, wouldn't it? Can you imagine knowing somebody that is supposed to be your kind of close friend that you know is going to betray you, basically turn you in to have you killed? That's kind of like almost like a hit, you know, for the mafia or something. And you keep on being nice to them, loving them. Well, again, Satan's behind what Judas is doing. And at the same time, Judas can't say, well, the devil made me do it. He's still responsible. He's the one who rejected the love of the Lord Jesus. He's the one who spent time with Jesus and still chose to reject him. So John here is kind of asking all of us, and in spite of the painful awareness that we don't deserve God's love, are we experiencing it in our own lives? You know, is it just something we hear about, or is it something that we know something about? Do we experience and understand his great love for us, the fact that's what caused him to go to the cross, because he loved us? And the fact that it was our sin that caused him to have to die on that cross. Does that motivate us to want to live for him, to serve him, to love him as he's loved us? How do we respond to it? Well, that leads us to this next thing that lesson Jesus is teaching here, and that is Christ's example of humble service should be a reality in our own lives. I remember my mom telling me this. I don't remember the situation, but I just remember hearing it. It says, what? Actions speak louder than words, okay? And, okay, I'll pick on the men here for a minute. Ladies, you'll get your turn here one of these days. But, you know, the Bible tells us to love our wives. And that just doesn't mean that you say that once in a while, okay? Because, face it, words are cheap. It's easy to say. They want to see it in action. Are you demonstrating that love? And, or even that of your children. Well, actions speak louder than words. And here's Jesus. He's not just telling his disciples that he loves them or anything else. He's demonstrating this towards them. And he's calling us to demonstrate this towards people, as he is, towards people who really aren't worthy of your love, right? And they've not really done anything for you. You know, sometimes that's how we look at it. Well, they've never done nothing for me. Why should I do anything for them? Well, because Christ said so. And because he did so. We look at verse 3 through 5. He says, Jesus, knowing the Father hath given all things to his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. And so here we see here to begin with that Jesus has authority over heaven and earth. Okay. The Father's given him all things into his hands. Jesus Christ has control as God himself over heaven and earth and everything in between, okay? And yet he is the one who humbly washes the feet of his undeserving disciples. And so to understand this, again, washing somebody else's feet, that's the lowest rung on the ladder, all right? It's the lowest job for servants is to wash somebody else's feet. Friends didn't wash friends' feet. And there's no example that we can find in Scripture otherwise where a superior is washing an inferior's feet, right? Just doesn't happen. And so the disciples would have been kind of shocked when Jesus begins to wash their feet. Apparently they were shocked. They were quiet. They didn't say anything until it comes to Peter, all right? You can always count on Peter saying something. You know, open mouth, insert foot. Why do we like Peter? Because he's so much like us, right? Well, Peter begins to verbalize what maybe the rest of them have been thinking. And he says there in verse 8, Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, said, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part of me. Okay, so it was Jesus is talking more than just the simple foot washing, the physical act of it that he's doing here. He's teaching us here too that we need to humbly serve one another. And several aspects to that. One of them is humility realizes there's no task beneath us, okay, that we can do for Christ's sake. You know, some people rely on their job description. They're asked to do something. Well, that's not my job description. Yeah, well, this may not be in your job description at work or someplace, but and maybe moms, they usually end up with a lot of this. They say, I didn't sign up for that. Cleaning up babies and everybody else that gets sick along the way and so on. Well, I read about a pastor who shared how he got a lesson in this early on in his ministry. He said a young woman had called him up on the phone. Her husband had a violent temper and called in tears and wanted to know if he could come over after they'd had this bad quarrel. And she had a baby and no transportation. And so he, rather than have her come to his office, he did end up going to the house. And he walked in. He said he could see beans all over the wall where her husband had just thrown the thing up against the wall. And said the stench, though, wasn't from beans. It was from vomit. And his eyes finally went to the floor and saw that this woman had vomited all over the floor and was too sick to clean it up. And so before he could talk to her soul, or to talk to her about her soul or her marriage, he cleaned up the vomit. It's kind of like, welcome to the ministry. You know, but we ought never get to the point where we think that task is too lowly for me. You know, I am somebody. You know, I don't do that sort of stuff. As a servant of Christ, there ought not be anything too low for us to do. And sometimes he asks us to do things that, you know, it's going to be out of your comfort zone, but it needs to be done. And we might just be tested to see, will we do it? Humility also requires us of thinking of others more highly than of ourselves. The disciples weren't about to wash each other's feet because, again, they're arguing about who's the greatest. And after pointing this out, seeing who's the greatest, we see that Jesus begins to talk to them. And I think I probably left Luke 22, verse 26, 27 in there, and you can read that. But you might write this in there. I like this one better, and that's the one I'll read for you. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 and 27. And there it says, whosoever will be greatest among you, let him be your minister or your servant. And whomsoever will be the chief among you, let him be your servant. Reminds me of a sermon that one of our professors preached one time in chapel. And it was entitled, The Way Up is Down. You know, the way to be great is to serve, be humble. And, you know, if there's any elevating that needs to take place, let God do it. You don't have to be the one trying to boost your own ego and everybody else's opinion of you. We see another place in Scripture. Two women in the church there in Philippi were having a dispute, and Paul talks to them there in Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4. He says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind," okay, lowliness of mind or humility, "let each esteem," or raise up, build up, "the other person better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." And so we see here the example of the Lord Jesus. He was willing to take the form of a servant when he went to the cross for our sakes. How many quarrels, whether it's at home or at work or even in a church situation, would evaporate if humility of our mind were put into practice, regarding the other person as more important than ourselves? See, the world is a pretty much me first mentality. You know, looking out for the three of us, me, myself, and I, and let the other guy deal with his own problems. But that's not what the Lord's telling us. And so humility requires us getting our eyes and our focus off of our rights and our needs and onto other people's needs. It's not all about me and my rights. I think some of us grew up in a world, I mean, it's changed, but we didn't hear an awful lot about rights. We weren't talking about kids' rights and all that stuff, you know. But now that's kind of the mentality. And here, Jesus had rights, if you want to put it that way. He should have been the one that was served. The disciples should have been, if they're going to fight over it, who gets to wash Jesus' feet? You know, but we don't see that happening. Their focus was on themselves. Who's the greatest? And we see here that he's trying to teach them to be focused on other people, what their need is. Well, these guys needed their feet washed, and none of them were going to do it, so Jesus did it. And they needed a lesson, though, in humble service. Again, putting the other person first as more important than ourselves, their needs above our own. You know, most of the time we're going to end up taking care of our needs. They'll be taken care of, but we don't always have to do that first. And let other people be in front of the line. We see here too, humility requires receiving, not just giving. See, sometimes it's easy to give to others, and we do it kind of out of pride. And yet we're kind of reluctant to receive when somebody else wants to do something good for you. And Peter was unwilling at first to let Jesus serve him. It wasn't out of humility. It was pride on his part. Peter needed this, as did the other disciples. And there are things at times we need, and we need to let other people help us. Sometimes that seems especially true as we get older. You know, we've been doing this stuff all of our lives, and, you know, we're independent, and we don't need anybody's help, and we probably do. We just don't want to admit it, you know. And these guys are a little bit embarrassed having Jesus wash their feet, but it was something that was needed to be done. And that was implying that their feet were dirty and that they needed washing. Remember your parents or your mom probably? You know, you've been out playing, comes in, "Go wash up," and you come out, "Okay, let me see your hands. And yeah, go back in there, do it again," you know. all you had to do is look around. You guys all got dirty feet. It would have served Peter's pride if he when it was able to wash Jesus' feet, but to have Jesus wash his, that he didn't want any part of that. And sometimes, though, same way, people are offended by the gospel because they don't see they have a need for it. You're talking about a sinner. Well, that's not me. I'm a good guy, you know. That's those other people, you know, down at the mission or something. People in jail. They're proud of their good works. They're proud of all the things that they've done for other people. And they view themselves as having clean feet, or I don't have any sin. And it would embarrass them to admit that their feet were dirty, or that they had sin in their life and they needed Jesus to cleanse away that sin. But that's the first step in understanding the gospel, is to know, to understand, to recognize that we're a sinner. Folks, that doesn't make us any different. This church is full of sinners, okay? We may be forgiven, but the Bible tells us we've all sinned and come short of the glory. Pastors, preachers, popes, missionaries, you name it, everybody is a sinner. And nothing we can do to get rid of our sin, okay? The only thing that's going to cleanse it away is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's why we need Jesus. And that's what brings us here to this last one here, is this cleansing of our sin needs to be a reality in our life, not just something that we know we need to do, okay? One of these days, I'm going to do that. Okay, I don't want to wear this illustration out, but I see it several times a day. I look down the street for me, and I see the house where that father and son died of carbon monoxide poisoning. I don't know what their heart was. I don't know where they were at spiritually. But they could have been thinking, one of these days, I'm going to take care of the sin problem in my life. But they never woke up to do it. It doesn't always just happen to the other people. Sometimes that comes knocking at our own door. And so it needs to be a reality. We see Jesus here, humble service. But beyond the real foundation of it all is that we need to have Jesus Christ wash away our sins. And don't misunderstand that. That has nothing to do with baptism. You know, you can get baptized 100 times and it's not going to wash away one sin. Now, you may have been told that or taught that somewhere along the line. Problem is, you won't find it in the Bible. And folks, we need to rely on what the Bible says, not just some guy with his collar on backwards or something, all right? And I'm not poking at anybody, because any of us could have grown up hearing that. But it's not baptism that saves you, okay? It's by trusting in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. He's the one who took our sin upon himself and died on the cross. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. He died for us. Not automatic. Okay, Jesus died, we all go to heaven. No, he died. He shed his blood. And that is applied to those who trust in him alone for their salvation. Not, well, my baptism, I sang in the choir, I helped little old ladies across the street. What about these poor little old men? They need help too, okay? Maureen and I keep joking, we got to be kind to Alex, because he's the one going to be pushing our wheelchair one of these days, okay? So, yeah, but it's not what we do that's going to get us to heaven. It's what Jesus Christ has already done. And makes that clear in 1 John 1:7. It says, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us of all sin. Okay? Jesus is able to do what's necessary. We can. And many people today would like to be Christians, but they don't want any part of the cross. They admire what Jesus said and some of the things he taught, his moral teachings, but they can't seem to get a hold of this idea that Jesus died for my sins, and that without his death, I'm lost and headed for hell. Okay? It's a mental thing. All right. And we see three reasons here why we need Christ to cleanse us. First of all, because of who Jesus is. It tells us back, and we won't go back there now, but in John 1:1, talks about the Word. Well, the Word was Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, it tells us that he took upon flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven's glory, took upon human flesh, and we see here that he laid aside his glory, but he willingly laid it aside ultimately so that he could go to the cross, die for us, provide everything that was necessary for salvation, and our part is to believe. The Word of God tells us so much about Jesus. He's the light of the world, and he lived a sinless life, and no one was able to point the finger at Jesus and say he did this sin, that sin, or the other sin. Oh, they could lie, but they couldn't tell the truth and say that. And here he knew his hour was come. Shortly he was going to end up on that cross. He knew that Jesus or Judas was going to get up and betray him. And he knows each one of us inside out. You know, there's probably things about our lives, whether we're married for umpteen years or not, that our husband or wife really doesn't know about us. Okay? Jesus knows. You may think you've pulled something off, you know, like we've been studying on Wednesday night. David thought he'd pulled off this sin with Bathsheba, and nobody else would know, and nobody would know about, you know, killing Uriah, her husband, and all the rest of this stuff. God knew. And pretty soon the whole world knew about it. And so the thing is, we need to deal with it. And Jesus is the only one who's able to take every bad thing that we've done and to cleanse it away, to wipe the slate clean. And he's the suffering servant. He's the one who died for our sins. He humbly sacrificed himself there on the cross. He's that Passover lamb. He's the one who shed his blood that's capable of cleansing away our sin. And folks, we all need it. We're all sinners. We all still sin. And he talks here too, it's that cleansing's necessary because who we are. And again, we're guilty sinners, okay? And the Bible tells us there in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no exceptions. You're not it. And there are some, apparently there's some writings out there by some well-known people that somehow are dragging baptism into this somehow or another. But baptism doesn't wash away your sins. It's a matter of obedience. You're identifying with Christ's death as you go down into the water, his burial and his resurrection as you come up out of the water. That's what baptism's all about. It's telling the world that I'm a follower of Jesus. But it's not what gets you into heaven. And Jesus talks about two kinds of cleansing. Notice there in verse 10, he said, Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean in every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. Okay, so that's what I had said earlier. You've already had your bath. You don't need a whole bath all over again, but you need your feet cleaned up. We don't need to get saved every time we sin. Once for all, we've been cleansed of sin, but we pick up dirt along the way, the daily. You still need to get your feet washed. You still need to take care of the daily sins. It interferes with our fellowship with the Lord. And that's an old illustration I used to use. It's kind of like when we sin, it's like somebody comes along and cuts the telephone cord. Well, there are not too many telephone cords out there nowadays, is there? All right. All of a sudden you lost contact with the tower. All right. So this foot washing here, it's a demonstration here of humility. And also, too, here, this matter of cleansing. I came across this illustration, and it said, we can compare it to a boy who's been adopted into a family. He's a full member of the family by virtue of his adoption, okay? He's a son. Nothing's going to change that. And we're not going to lose that standing. But with his daily relationship with his father might be damaged some because he's disobedient or did something wrong his dad told him not to do. He doesn't lose his sonship. He's not kicked out of the family. He's not no longer a son. No, he's still a son, but he needs to come to his father and apologize and make things right and receive that forgiveness. In the same thing, way in our lives, God has completely forgiven us at the moment of salvation when we trust Jesus Christ. But again, we can dirty ourselves up just by living in this world. Sometimes we because of the way that we walk, the way that we live, sometimes we know something's wrong and we do it anyway, right? Speed limit says 35, and we decide I'm going to do 50. Okay? But it might cost you something there too. And just telling the policeman I'm sorry may not make the difference, all right? But we can go to the Lord and he can forgive us, but we have to admit it, confess it. Say the same thing about it as God does. And he's able to cleanse us. It's an ongoing process. Folks, as long as we're living in this world, this side of heaven, we're going to say things, we're going to think things, we're going to do things that are contrary to God's word, okay? That we may never have intended to hurt somebody's feeling, but just the way that we said it. Guys, what is it? It's not just what you say, but how you say it. Yeah, you know? And you know, sometimes we can hurt our wives' feelings or our children or grandchildren. And we didn't really mean to, but we did. And we can ask for forgiveness from them, and they say, yeah, okay, Grandpa, I'll forgive you. But we also need to get God's forgiveness to be restored to right relationship with him. And there are all kinds. It's coming at us from all directions. You can't hardly walk through the check stand anymore. Maybe that's a good thing that we have the self-checkouts. Although somebody said the other day, where do we go to get our W-2s for those self-checkouts that we've been doing? You'll figure that one out later on. Okay. But here, Jesus gives us some real practical lessons here. First of all, we need to love others even when they don't deserve it. Aren't you glad that God still loves us in times when we don't deserve it? Okay. You want to caution. Don't ever be a parent and threaten your kids or tell your kids, if you do that, I won't love you anymore. Don't ever do that. Okay? God doesn't do that to us. We ought not to do that to anybody else. But we also need to learn to humbly serve others. Okay? Don't have a job out there that I'm not going to do because who I am or whatever. All right? God might call you to do something that's you think is way down there somewhere. He might be just testing you. How much are you willing to humble yourself? And then two, the need for that daily cleansing. Folks, we all need it. We won't make you take your shoes and socks off here today, but they may not look dirty, but maybe you haven't put that powder in the shoe here lately. I don't know. Lord knows he can take care of that, but he can cleanse us on a daily basis. Folks, we all need it. But first of all, has there been a point in your life where you've recognized I'm a sinner and sinners go to hell? Sinners don't go to heaven. And the only way I can get rid of that sin is to come to Jesus Christ and ask him to forgive me on my sin. And give me that gift of eternal life. Has there ever been a time when you've done that? And really meant it? Not just mouthing the words, okay? But to know that your sins are forgiven, you're heaven bound. Folks, God's going to change your outlook on life. He's going to give you a new plan, new purpose in life. Doesn't mean he's going to uproot you out of your the house that you live in or the job that you do and stick you over in Africa as a missionary. Some people, I'm afraid, I don't know what God might do to me. If that's what he did, you'd be happier doing it than what you're doing now. But hey, Africa's going to get kind of crowded if we all leave and go there, all right? We don't have to go to Africa to find lost people, to find people who need Christ. We work with them. They're going to be at the grocery store and the gas station, and they're around us all over the place. And our part is to tell them about the Lord Jesus. I trust that if you've not made that decision, I'd be love to sit down with you quietly and privately and show you just in a few verses how you can know for sure your sins are forgiven and you're heaven bound. That's a tremendous hope that we have and assurance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for loving us in spite of our sin. Lord, you know what you can accomplish. You know that you're able to cleanse away our sin and give us a whole new perspective. And the old things are passed away and all things become new. You can wipe the slate clean. You don't hold the past against us. Some of us have a past. Lord, we pray that you'd work in each of our hearts and those of us who have already trusted Christ for salvation. We pray that we might not just kind of let this one slide by, but that we realize the imperative to love others even though they may not deserve it, because Jesus loved us and we didn't deserve it. And that those, maybe some job that comes along, some responsibility that we kind of go, ooh, I don't want to do that, that there, we don't get to the point where we think we're too good to do that. And then, too, that we take care of our sin issues on a daily basis. Don't let them pile up because we're going to forget what they were. Lord, we pray that you continue to strengthen us, encourage us, help us as we go forth into a new week. There's going to be some challenges along the way. There's going to be some opportunities along the way. Help us to be able to handle whatever comes our way with your help. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like for us to sing a closing hymn, if you would, please. 195 kind of says what we talked about here. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can take away that sin. Used to be, what is it, 409? Okay, that's not the size of an engine. But it's that clean stuff. What were some of the other old stuff? I don't even know if they sell it. You can tell I'm not into clean products, but it's like Pine Sol and all this. What did I say? What page? 195. Everybody else is there but me. Nothing but the blood. Shall we stand and sing? Lord bless you. Have a good day.